Today, this morning, I mentioned about Jesus' prayer found in John chapter 17. So if you'll go to John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, and I'm going to read that. You see, today we're going to look into Jesus' prayer and find a baseline for our prayer life and the importance to live a Christ-filled life through prayer and application of Christ's word in order to bring glory in God. These first few verses, we find that what Jesus is talking about, and if the recognition is not going to him, he's not saying, "Oh, Father, are you glad of all the great things I did? Oh, Father, are you glad of all the people that I healed?" And so he's talking to God, again, praying, communion, speaking to God. And he speaks to God, and the things that he says is focusing on God receiving the glory, God receiving the recognition, and not himself. And so Jesus says, he spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Father, we just come to you and we thank you. We pray, God, that as we look into this prayer that Jesus has with you, God, this communion, Lord, this conversation that he has with you, God, that we'll look at this prayer and search for a baseline of how our prayer life ought to be, Lord, of how we are to work on this prayer life and become better prayer warriors than who we were last week or last month. God, teach us to become more intent on praying. Lord, teach us to become more fervent in how we pray and what we pray for, God. Lord, I just pray that you will speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is a prayer to the Father, a life focused on glorifying the Father. Everything that Jesus did was not for himself, but it was for the glory of God, that God would be glorified. And everything that he did was to reveal God's glory and power. A life that directed others to know the only true God through words and actions is how Jesus did it. What he spoke, whatever he spoke, was what the Father wanted him to speak. Whatever he did was what the Father wanted him to do. It was never because, "Well, I just want to check this out and see if these people will listen to me. I just want to check this out and see if I really can feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That wasn't the case. He wasn't trying to figure out or find out what he could do. Everything that Jesus did was to bring glory and honor to God. Our prayer life, it's like our lifeline to the Father. You guys ever see Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And they had these three, you know, these three choices. And one of the choice was, they called it a lifeline, to call somebody and to find out if their answer was correct. And it would give them the opportunity to go ahead and call someone to actually have help to know if this answer is correct, because there's a lot of money on the line. Well, our prayer life is like our lifeline to the Father, like the necessity of one who is snorkeling. Now, I spoke to someone who just recently, they went snorkeling. And I remember when I went snorkeling, and you go underwater. And if you really want to get close to the stuff down on the bottom, you go even farther. And that little tube, it's not that long. So you got to hold your breath. And you go all the way down, and then there's going to come a time, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, maybe if you're really good, a minute. You got to come back up. You got to come back up and get some more air, get oxygen. So you come to the surface, get some oxygen, push that water out of that little tube, and then get some air, and then put that thing back in your mouth, and then go back down under the water. Our prayer life is like a lifeline where we need to go to the Father. It is such of a necessity as one who is snorkeling, or even one who has that apparatus and they're deep sea diving. They need the oxygen in that tank. If those tanks are empty, they're going to die. If they go as far down, as far as they're going, they're not going to make it. It is vital to not drown. Therefore, you come back up to the surface. It is vital for us not to be lost in ourselves, not to be lost in the mundane things of life. That is why we need to pray and need to meet with the Father. Paul said, as I read this morning, he said, I have not attained a perfected life. I have not attained a perfected prayer life, but I am eager to become a more effective prayer warrior. How? By praying more. By spending a little bit more time in prayer than I did last week or yesterday. By speaking to God any chance I get. While I'm driving, that's a great opportunity to speak to God. A great opportunity to speak to God early in the morning. For those of you that are morning people, I'm not a morning person. So I speak to God later on at night. Hopefully when the house is all quiet. But it is vital that we see our prayer life is our lifeline to the Father, that we come to know the Father more intimately, more personally, and that if we sit there long enough, we can actually hear from Him, or the Holy Spirit will bring Scripture to our mind, reminding us of what we've already read to give us direction, to lead us in the right direction, and to give us purpose, or to remind us of the purpose that He's given us. Let's go to verses 6 through 19. I'm not going to read it all, but John chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. And give me a second while I go there real quick. John chapter 17. Jesus says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. How did they know? Jesus imparted that wisdom. Jesus explained some things to them. Verse 9, it says, Jesus says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. Now, it's not saying that Jesus doesn't care about the world. He came to die for the world, that for whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine. I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. Now notice what he says. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Again, I mentioned this morning. Jesus prays this prayer of unity, that the believers that God has given him would be one with Christ, one with God, just as Christ is one with the Father. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition. Who would that son of perdition be? Judas. Okay, because he lost none except one, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm come to you that these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. How can we fill up our joy tank? By spending time in the Word, by spending time with the Lord, by reminding ourselves how great the Lord is. Shannon shared a great passage of Scripture of what can fill our joy, of what can fill our minds and our tank of joy, if you want, our joy tank. But when we pray, making those requests known to God, and then later on it says that our hearts and our minds will be guarded by who? By Jesus Christ. And we'll be filled with that joy, knowing I don't have to sweat that. I don't have to worry about that, even though my mind is telling me to, but I don't have to. I've already given it to the Lord, and I can walk away knowing that He's got it under control. And I can be filled with that joy. Jesus says, my joy fulfilled in them. Fulfilled means to be furnished, accomplished in them. He asks that they not be taken out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. You want to know why? How else is the good news going to be spread? If God was to go ahead and pull every single one of us before the rapture and take us to heaven, how else will the gospel be visible in your workplace? How will it be visible in your home? How will it be visible in your neighborhood? So Jesus was saying, God, don't take them out of the world yet, but just protect them from the evil one. The purpose is so that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, can be shared and spread throughout the world. Verse 17, Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Listen, if you're looking for some advice, if you're looking for some direction, spend some time with God, look in His word. Jesus is saying, sanctify them. Set these believers apart. Again, he's still praying for the disciples that God gave him. A prayer for them to be sanctified, set apart, or for holy use. By what? By God's truth. His truth, God's truth makes us free. God's truth sets us free, leads us to a free living. Verse 20, it says, I do not pray for these alone. And I love this part. Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those, and I wrote in my Bible, us, for those who will believe in me through their word, the believer's word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as you are one. Again, unity, this is awesome that Jesus, and when I read it, I'm reading as if the Lord is speaking about me, as if he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for Rick. Who will believe the faith of these, who will believe their word, who will believe the gospel as they have spread the gospel. And it's just an important part of scripture that God, you're speaking to me and Jesus, you're thinking about me. You're thinking about those who will believe in Jesus through the word of the disciples. Intercession for you and me. Jesus brings about unity, unity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This unity is supposed to proclaim to the world the good news that God so loved that he gave Jesus, whosoever believes in him would have everlasting life. So our prayer life is our life source to the Father. It is through prayer that we are instructed by the Father, his will and desire. He desires to commune with us and speak to us. He desires to have that holy communication with us. How well or how much desire do we have for that? How well does your prayer life speak of your faith in Christ Jesus? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Paul speaks to the believers in Ephesus about a spiritual battle. You see, we're not supposed to fight physically with others, although some of us do. Now, I wasn't going to... I thought about this illustration, Michael, because Michael Gibson is a wrestler for Camden County High, and he wins like all the time. And so he's, we're looking forward to seeing him go state and take first in state before he graduates high school. But he's really good at in wrestling. But he wrestles other guys and sometimes other like in a higher weight class. And he does very well. But when he wrestles with someone physically. You and I, I can only assume we endure some hardships from certain people. People that push the buttons, that we want to pinch their head off. But we know that that's not the answer. And we are told, as Paul is telling the people of Ephesus, your battle is not against flesh and blood. There is a battle that you have to learn how to fight. Now, I can go ahead and have maybe Jeremy or Jacob up here and then have them wrestle Jacob. And just to summon by might look like, you know what, that's a no-brainer. Jeremy and Jacob, they'll probably beat Michael. But if I had Silas up here with Michael, of course, that would totally be not fair. We have to learn to be spiritual fighters, warriors. And that's what happens when we pray. Because what he says in Ephesians chapter 6, let's read that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Paul says, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He didn't say, go work out, go get some muscles, go lift some iron, eat right. He didn't. It's not about us. It's about the Father. It's about the Lord where we receive our strength. So he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not by my might. It's not by my power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against. We fight somebody. You are fighting somebody. Now, you're either going to choose to fight with against someone physically, with words, throw things, maybe actually throw some punches. I'm not sure how well some of you deal with your family members. You might have had some big out fights and brawls, but that's not the fight that we're supposed to be fighting. Paul says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Then verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to continue to stand. You see, the struggles that we face are more of a spiritual occurrence than a physical one. Students, you might have a bully in school that you'll find out that there's a big bully in school, and he's picking on kids. He's picking on you. Adults, you might have coworkers or bosses where you battle with their hate and anger every single day. You know what? The battle's not against them. It's spiritual. It's not physical. It's spiritual. You know those people that are that work in the checkout lane? Okay, they might say, oh, the battle is definitely some dumb people that come in the line and they have attitudes and they want to pose that attitude onto me. The battle is not against that person. It's more of a spiritual occurrence than a physical one. Some of you who do your best at not having road rage, your battle is not the people that don't know how to drive. Why in the world did they get a driver's license? The battle is not physical. It is spiritual. What about the problems with your spouse? Oh, I know this far too well. Do you solve the problem throwing things and screaming? I've never thrown anything at Shannon. I've said this before. I punched a hole in my bathroom door. I have yet to change it to remind me how dumb it was to put a hole in my door. Because that battle, that problem was not against her. It was spiritual. My attitude needed to be in check. There was anger, there was frustration, and I needed to check that with the Lord, and I needed to give it to God. But what did I do? I allowed my emotions to just rise up. And you know what? I'm thankful to the Lord that he has helped me to have a longer fuse. And you can ask Shannon, and she'll attest to that. The Lord has helped me to have a longer fuse. How did that happen? By learning to fight spiritually. By learning to fight and know who my enemy is. It's not my wife. It was the enemy and the lies of the devil pointing things. I got to be selfish. I got to have this. And it was all just the flesh. So that's why Paul says we don't battle, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This is why it's important that we need to see prayer is vital. It's our lifeline to God so that we don't mess things up. When you're at work and those people are pushing the buttons, it is your lifeline to walk away and pray and ask God, or just pray in the spirit, or pray underneath your mouth and just pray to God and ask God to help you, to ask God. That is your lifeline so that you don't ruin your testimony, so that you don't mess things up. It's important that we see prayer is what we must become better at doing. Not mouthing off. We need to become better at praying more. Verse 12 says that the question is, or it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The question that I wrote down, that I'm assuming the Spirit gave us or gave me to say, are you wrestling at all in the Spirit? It says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but, and it says who we wrestle against. The question is, are you even wrestling in the spirit to begin with? Are you trying to wrestle with the in the physical sense with other people? Do you carry your Bible in hand and deem as this is the way you put the armor of God on? This is not how you put the armor of God on. You put the armor of God on by praying, by focusing on what God has. None of the weapons in the armor of God is of the flesh. Look, you can probably make a costume for those of you that are seamstresses and you just like to sew. You can probably make a costume that is the armor of God, but that's not the armor of God. How do I put on? Where do I find the armor of God? You find it in prayer. You find it in the word, and you hold on to what God's word says. It is truth. It sets you free. It is helpful for directing what you're going to say and what you're going to do. Prayer, again, is our lifeline. So how do we find out what our armor of God is? Let's continue to read in Ephesians chapter 6. Let me get there real quick. Again, it is not something that you physically put on. It is spiritual. Why? Because our battle is spiritual. It's not physical. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. You could probably find a belt and write truth, but that's not the armor of God. The truth is the word of God. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, you can probably make a breastplate and put it on underneath your shirt. You know, people are like, hey, what you got underneath there? Oh, it's my breastplate of righteousness. Look, that's not the armor of God. That might be a symbolic article of clothing maybe you might want to wear, but that is not, it is spiritual. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, knowing that I am covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and not my own. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Man, I'm going to write on my shoes the gospel of peace. That's not the armor of God. But everywhere I walk according to the word of God. I walk on the rock. I walk on his word and I stand firm. And so wherever I'm walking, I am walking in the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. You want to look like Darth Vader, put a helmet on if you want to. You might look a little weird, but it is spiritual. Taking on the shield of faith, knowing in my mind that I have faith in God and who God is, and that he is able to take me and lead me and guide me to follow him. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, or the shield of faith, of course, yeah, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Hallelujah. I had a church calendar up here. Not a calendar, a prayer list. Were you sitting on it? Negative ghostwriter. All right, you got one? All right, good. Thank you. Hey, that was good. You got it in your bag. So for the situation that we're going through, that our country is going through, you can't go out there and fight people. And a lot of people are trying to do that. That's not the answer. We need to fight spiritually. We need to pray. Well, how do we pray? We're praying for our community and our country as this. Father, we pray for America and our leaders to be drawn to the Lord Jesus for salvation and have a real fear of God. Man, sometimes when I'm praying this, I say, God, wake them up in the middle of the night that they have the fear of God. Speak to them in the wee hours of the night. Reveal truth that they need God. We pray, Father, that our leaders would make wise decisions for our country and stand up for what is holy, just, and right. Listen, if they're sinners, I can't expect them to live and to make decisions that is holy, just, and right if they're sinners. So they need Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we pray, Father, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Hey, that's scripture right there. We're praying scripture. And Colossians 4:6, Father, we pray that our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how we ought to answer each one. This is what we're praying. This is how we need to fight. This is how we need to learn to become better fighters spiritually, better prayer warriors. It just doesn't jump on you. It just doesn't happen. You can watch YouTube videos of people working out. You're not going to get pumped and you're not going to get toned up just by watching people. You got to do it, don't you? You have to work out. You have to eat right. Listen, you're not going to become a powerful prayer warrior. And maybe some of you are not even aspiring to become a powerful prayer warrior. I hope that you would rethink that. Because here it says that we have a spiritual battle to fight, and it is not physical, it is spiritual. I pray that we become prayer warriors, people that God will say, who is going to be praying? Who is going to be standing in the gap? And we're going to say resounding, here I am, God, I will pray. Not one item of the armor is of the flesh. We need to learn to fight spiritually. You see, having a prayer life, big or small, depending on how mature you are in the faith. If it's small, keep stretching to make yourself more of a prayer warrior. If it's big, guess what? You'll never get too big that you know what? I don't need to pray anymore. I've prayed so much, I don't know what to do. No, that'll never happen. Never happen. For we are to pray without ceasing. This reveals your trust and faith in God. My question, is it active and alive or idle and near dead? Your prayer life. I'm going to say that again. Is your prayer life active and alive or is it idle and near dead? What do you mean near dead? Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing and the hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so many indications or so many places we find where Jesus makes it vitally important to pray. We see how important it was for Jesus to go away and pray. He teaches us how to pray. Notice, not one teaching does Jesus give to edify yourself by looking to yourself for the answer, by looking to yourself for direction. It's always to look to God. And how do we look to God? We go to Him in prayer. James chapter 2, I'm not going to read, but verses 14 through 26, those of you who are taking notes. James 2, 14 through 26 points out that faith without works is dead. Verse 14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of them says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, and what does it profit? Let's drop down to verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, Rahab the harlot also justified by the works when she received the messengers and sent them the other way. You see, our works speak of our faith, that it is either true or false, alive or dead. Again, notice verse 24. I'm going to read that again. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. You see, you could say I pray a lot, but do you really pray a lot? Do you spiritually fight a lot? We can say we live and we have faith for Jesus Christ, but only our works will determine if that statement is true or not. You know that phrase, the proof is in the pudding, or the proof is in the mix. Listen, if we are spiritual warriors, prayer warriors for God, then it will show in our fighting. It will show in our fighting. You and God know the state and the well-being of your prayer life. And I close with this. Make the necessary changes in your life to see that it is active and that you are becoming better at wrestling in the Spirit. Again, Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Listen, there have been times that I've prayed and it felt like it went nowhere. It felt like it just hit the ceiling and it didn't go very far. It felt as if God was so far away and I was talking to Him like that and He couldn't hear me. When you get to that, when you feel that, how many of you ever felt that way? Can I encourage you? Don't stop. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. I'm not sure how many of you had older siblings that would hold your head and that you try to hit them, but they would hold your head. It might feel like that you're fighting, that you're praying, and you're getting nowhere. Don't stop. Keep fighting. Keep spiritually fighting. You'll become a better prayer warrior when you do so, because when you give up, it's just a whole lot easier to give up the next time. And I said this on Wednesday, the worst time to start praying is when you're in the middle of the storm. Learn to become praying warriors of God before the storm comes, so that when the storm comes, you know who your God is. You know what the word says. You know what to stand on, and you're standing on God's word. And come on, bring it. Bring it. I don't care what comes. I know who my God is. I know who my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know who my God is. And people will come to that conclusion. Why? Because they've been praying and they become better prayer warriors than who they were before. Father, we come to you and we thank you. We pray, God, Lord, that you remind us, Lord, this week, the enemy's going to be throwing things. The enemy's going to throw things at us this week. It happens all the time to try to distract us, to try to detour us from living for you, from trusting in you, from having the joy of the Lord, which should be our strength. And Father, I pray that you'll remind us that the battle and the fight is spiritual, and that we can receive strength from you, Lord, and receive might from you, God, and that we ought to pray and to learn to rely and trust on you and to call on you. Lord, help us to become better prayer warriors. God, help us that our prayer life will not be idle and near death, but it will be active and alive. We thank you, Father. Lord, and I just pray, God, that you give us opportunities this week. Lord, I know that there's a lot of trash being flung around on social media, and there'll be people talking at the water cooler and the coffee bar and in the stores about all the negative thing going on in our country today. Help us to pray. Help us to shed light on that situation. Help us to share Jesus and the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.